chapter 2. As described in this chapter, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead entered the womb of Devaki to kill Kamsa, all the demigods understood that Krishna was living within Devaki's womb. And therefore, in veneration, they offered Krishna the Garbhastuti prayers. Kamsa, under the protection of his father-in-law Jarasandha, and with the help of his demoniac friends like Palamba, Bakka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aga Asura, Mushtika, Bana, and Bauma Asura, all of them began oppressing the members of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, the members of the Yadu dynasty left their homes and sought shelter in such states as Kuru, Panchal, Kekai, Shalva, and Vidarbha. Only some of them stayed back with Kamsa as nominal or token friends. After Kamsa killed the Shadgarbhas, or the six sons of Devaki, one after another, Ananta Dev entered Devaki's womb and was transferred to the womb of Rohini by the manipulation of Yogamaya, who was simply following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna himself, who was soon to appear as the eighth son of Devaki, ordered Yogamaya to take birth from the womb of Yashoda Devi. Because Krishna and his potency, Yogamaya, appeared simultaneously as brother and sister, the world is thus full of Vaishnavas and Shaktas, and there is certainly some rivalry between them. Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Lord, whereas Shaktas, according to their desires, worship Yogamaya in forms like Durga, Bhadrakali, and Chandika. Following the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya transferred Baladeva, or Sankarsana, the seventh child of Devaki, from her womb to the womb of Rohini. Because Sankarsana appears in order to increase love of Krishna, he is known as Baladeva. One may take auspicious strength from Sankarsana and Baladeva to become a devotee of Krishna, and therefore he is also known as Balabhadra. After Yogamaya transferred the seventh child of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the heart of Vasudev and transferred himself into the heart of Devaki. Because Krishna was present in her heart, Devaki, as her pregnancy continued, appeared effulgent. Upon seeing this effulgence, Kamsa was full of anxiety. But Kamsa could not harm Devaki because of their family relationship. Thus, Kamsa began indirectly thinking of Krishna and became fully Krishna conscious. Meanwhile, because of Krishna's presence within the womb of Devaki, all the demigods came to offer Krishna their prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, they said, is eternally the absolute truth. The spiritual soul is more important than the gross body, and the super soul, Paramatma, is still more important than the soul. The Supreme Godhead is absolutely independent, and his incarnations are transcendental. The prayers of the demigods glorify and exalt devotees and explain the fate of persons who superficially considered themselves liberated from the conditions of material nature. However, a devotee is always safe. When a devotee fully surrenders at the lotus feet of Krishna, he or she is completely liberated from the fear of material existence. By explaining why the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, the prayers of the demigods clearly confirm Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bhavati Bharata Abhyuthanam Adharmasya Sadatmanam Srijam Yaham. Whenever, wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, my dear Arjuna, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I myself descend. Chapter 3. As described in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in His original form as Krishna, appeared as Vishnu, so that His father and mother could understand that their son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they were afraid of Kamsa, when Krishna appeared as an ordinary child, they took him to Gokula, the home of Nanda Maharaj. Mother Devaki, being fully transcendental, or Sachid Ananda, does not belong to this material world. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared with four hands, as if born from her womb. Upon seeing Krishna in that Vishnu form, Vasudeva was struck with wonder, and in transcendental happiness, Vasudeva and Devaki mentally gave 10,000 cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Vasudeva then offered prayers to Krishna, addressing him as the Supreme Person, Para Brahman, or the Supersoul, who is beyond duality and who is internally and externally all-pervading. Krishna, the cause of all causes, is beyond material existence, although Krishna is the creator of this material world. When Krishna enters this world as Paramatma, Krishna is all-pervading. Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. And yet, Krishna is transcendentally situated. For the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, Krishna appears as the Guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. Thus, Vasudeva offered prayers full of meaning to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki followed her husband by offering prayers describing the transcendental nature of Krishna. Fearing Kamsa and desiring that Krishna not be understood by atheistic and materialistic non-devotees, Devaki prayed that Krishna withdraw his transcendental four-armed form and appear like an ordinary child with two hands. Krishna reminded Vasudeva and Devaki of two other incarnations in which Krishna had appeared as their son. Krishna had appeared as Prishni Garba and Vamana Dev, and now this was the third time Krishna was appearing as the son of Devaki, just to fulfill their desire. Then Krishna decided to leave the residence of Vasudeva and Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. And at this very time, Yogamaya took birth as the daughter of Yashoda. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, Vasudeva was able to leave the prison house and save his child from the hands of Kamsa. When Vasudeva brought Krishna to the house of Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva saw that by the arrangement of Yogamaya, Yashoda as well as everyone else, was deeply asleep. Thus, Vasudev exchanged the babies, taking Yogamaya from Yashoda's lap and placing Krishna there instead. Then, Vasudev returned to his own palace, having taken Yogamaya as his daughter. Vasudev placed Yogamaya on Devaki's bed and prepared to be a prisoner as before. In Gokula, Yashoda could not understand whether she had given birth to a male or female child. Chapter 4. This chapter describes how Kamsa, following the advice of his demoniac friends, considered the persecution of small children to be very diplomatic. After Vasudev bound himself with iron shackles as before, all the doors of the prison house closed by the influence of Yogamaya, who then began crying as a newborn child. This crying awakened the doorkeepers, who immediately informed Kamsa that a child had been born to Devaki. Upon hearing this news, Kamsa appeared with great force in the maternity room, and in spite of Devaki's pleas that the child be saved, the demon forcibly snatched the child from the hands of Devaki, dashing the child against a rock. Unfortunately for Kamsa, however, the newborn child slipped away from his hands, rose above his head, and appeared as the eight-armed form of Durga. Durga then told Kamsa, "The enemy you contemplate has taken birth somewhere else. Therefore, your plan to persecute all the children will prove futile." According to the prophecy, the eighth child of Devaki would kill Kamsa. And therefore, when Kamsa saw that the eighth child was a female and heard that his so-called enemy had taken birth elsewhere, Kamsa was struck with wonder. Kamsa then decided to release Devaki and Vasudev and admitted before them the wrongness of his atrocities. Falling at the feet of Devaki and Vasudev, Kamsa begged their pardon and tried to convince them that because the events that had taken place were destined to happen, they should not be unhappy for Kamsa's having killed so many of their children. Being naturally very pious, Devaki and Vasudev immediately excused Kamsa for his atrocities. And Kamsa, after seeing that his sister and brother-in-law were happy, returned to his home. However, after the night had passed, Kamsa called for his ministers, informing them of all that had happened. The ministers, who were all demons, advised Kamsa that because his enemy had already taken birth somewhere else, all the children born within the past 10 days in the villages within Kamsa's kingdom should all be killed. Although the demigods always feared Kamsa, they should not be treated leniently since they were enemies. Therefore, Kamsa should try his best to uproot the existence of the demigods. The demoniac ministers further advised that Kamsa and the demons continue their enmity toward Lord Vishnu, because Vishnu is the original person among all the demigods. The Brahmanas, cows, the Vedas, austerity, truthfulness, control of the senses and mind, faithfulness and mercy are among the different parts of the body of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu, the origin of all the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Therefore, the ministers advised that the demigods, saintly persons, cows and brahmanas should be systematically persecuted. Strongly advised in this way by his friends, the demoniac ministers, Kamsa approved of their instructions and considered it beneficial to be envious of the Brahmins. Following Kamsa's orders, therefore, the demons began committing their atrocities all over Brajabhumi. Chapter 5. As described in this chapter, Nanda Maharaj very gorgeously performed the birth ceremony for his newborn child. Then Nanda went to Kamsa to pay taxes due and met his intimate friend Vasudeva. There was great jubilation all over Vrindavan due to Krishna's birth. Everyone was overwhelmed with joy. Therefore, the king of Braja, Maharaj Nanda, wanted to perform the birth ceremony for his child, and this he did. During this great festival, Nanda Maharaj gave in charity to all present whatever they desired. After the festival, Nanda Maharaj put the cowherd men in charge of protecting Gokula and then went to Mathura to pay official taxes to King Kamsa. In Mathura, Nanda Maharaj met Vasudev. Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were brothers. And Vasudev praised Nanda Maharaj's good fortune because Vasudev knew that Krishna had accepted Nanda Maharaj as his father. When Vasudev inquired from Nanda Maharaj about the welfare of the child, Nanda Maharaj informed Vasudev all about Vrindavan. And Vasudev was very much satisfied by this. Although Vasudev expressed his grief because Devaki's many children had been killed by Kamsa, Nanda Maharaj consoled Vasudev by saying that everything happens according to destiny and that one who knows this is never aggrieved. Expecting many disturbances in Gokula, Vasudev then advised Nanda Maharaj not to wait in Mathura, but to return to Vrindavan as soon as possible. Thus, Nanda Maharaj took leave of Vasudev and returned to Vrindavan with the other cowherd men on their bullock carts. Chapter 6. A summary of the sixth chapter is as follows. Nanda Maharaj, following the instructions of Vasudev, was returning home. Nanda saw a great demoniac woman lying on the road, and then Nanda heard about her death. While Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja, was thinking about Vasudev's words concerning disturbances in Gokula, Nanda was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, Kamsa sent to the village of Gokula a Rakshasi named Putana, who was wandering here and there, killing small babies. Of course, wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, there is the danger of such Rakshasis. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was in Gokula, Putana could accept nothing there but her own death. One day, Putana arrived from outer space in Gokula, the home of Nanda Maharaj. And by displaying her mystic power, she assumed the disguise of a very beautiful woman. Taking courage, Putana immediately entered Krishna's bedroom without anyone's permission. By the grace of Krishna, no one forbade her to enter the house or the room, because that was Krishna's desire. The baby Krishna who resembled a fire covered with ashes, looked upon Putana and thought that he would have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman. Enchanted by the influence of Yogamaya and the personality of Godhead, Putana took Krishna upon her lap, and neither Rohini nor Yashoda objected. The demon Putana offered her breast for Krishna to suck, but her breast was smeared with poison. The child Krishna therefore squeezed Putana's breast so severely that in unbearable pain, Putana had to assume her original demoniac body and fell to the ground. Krishna then began playing upon her breast just like a small child. When Krishna was playing, the gopis were pacified and took child Krishna away to their own laps. After this incident, the gopis took precautions because of the attack of the Rakshasi. Mother Yashoda gave the child her own breast to suck and then laid Krishna in bed. Meanwhile, Nanda and his associates, the cowherder men, returned from Mathura. And when they saw the great dead body of Putana, they were struck with wonder. Everyone was astonished that Vasudev had foretold this mishap, and they praised Vasudev for his power of foresight. The inhabitants of Braja cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces, but because Krishna had sucked her breast, Putana had become freed from all of her sins, and therefore when the cowherder men burned the pieces of her dead body in a fire, the smoke filled the air with a very pleasing fragrance. Ultimately, although Putana had desired to kill Krishna, she attained Krishna's abode. From this incident, we gain the instruction that if one is attached to Krishna somehow or other, even as an enemy, one ultimately attains success. What then is to be said of devotees who are naturally attached to Krishna in love? When the inhabitants of Braja heard about the killing of Putana and the welfare of child Krishna, they were very much satisfied. Then Nanda Maharaj took baby Krishna on his lap and was filled with satisfaction. Chapter 7. In this chapter, Sri Krishna's pastimes of breaking the cart, Shakata Banjan, killing the asura known as Trinavarta, and demonstrating the entire universe within his mouth are especially described. When Shukadeva Goswami saw that Maharaj Parikshit was eagerly waiting to hear about Lord Krishna's pastimes as a child, Shukadeva was very much pleased and continued speaking. When Sri Krishna was only 3 months old and was just trying to turn backside up, before Krishna even attempted to crawl, Mother Yashoda wanted to observe a ritualistic ceremony with her friends for the good fortune of her child. Such a ritualistic ceremony is generally performed with ladies who also have small children. When Mother Yashoda saw that Krishna was falling asleep because of other engagements, she put the child underneath a household cart, Shakata. And while Krishna was sleeping, Yashoda engaged herself in other business pertaining to the auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Underneath the cart was a cradle, and Mother Yashoda had placed Krishna in that cradle. Krishna was sleeping, But suddenly Krishna awakened and, as usual for a child, began to kick his small legs. This kicking shook the cart, which collapsed with such a great sound, breaking completely and spilling all of its contents. Some children who were playing nearby immediately informed Mother Yashoda that the cart had broken, and therefore Yashoda hastily arrived there in great anxiety with the other gopis. Mother Yashoda immediately took child Krishna upon her lap and allowed Krishna to suck her breast. Then various types of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies were performed with the help of the brahmanas. Not knowing the real identity of the child, the brahmanas showered Krishna with blessings. Another day, when Mother Yashoda was sitting with her child on her lap, Yashoda suddenly observed that Krishna had assumed the weight of the entire universe. Yashoda was so astonished that she had to put the child down. And in the meantime, Trinavarta, one of the servants of Kamsa, appeared there as a whirlwind and took Krishna away. The whole tract of land known as Gokula became surcharged with dust. No one could see where child Krishna had been taken. And all the gopis were overwhelmed because Krishna had been taken away in the dust storm. But up in the sky, the Asura, being overburdened by child Krishna, could not carry Krishna far away, although Trinavarta also could not drop the child because Krishna had caught Trinavarta so tightly that it was difficult for Trinavarta to separate Krishna from his own body. Thus, Trinavarta himself fell down from a very great height. The child Krishna grasping Trinavarta tightly by the shoulder, and Trinavarta immediately died. The demon having fallen, the gopis picked child Krishna up and delivered him to the lap of Mother Yashoda. Thus Mother Yashoda was struck with wonder. But because of Yoga Maya's influence, no one could understand who Krishna was and what had actually happened. Rather, everyone began to praise fortune for the child having been saved from such a calamity. Nanda Maharaj, of course, was thinking of the wonderful foretelling of Vasudev and began to praise Vasudev for being a great yogi. Later, when Krishna was on the lap of Mother Yashoda, the child yawned, and Mother Yashoda could see within Krishna's mouth the entire universal manifestation. Chapter 8. The summary of the 8th chapter is as follows. This chapter describes the ceremony of giving a name to Krishna. It also describes Krishna's crawling, Krishna's playing with the cows, and Krishna's eating earth, and again showing the universal form to his mother. One day, Vasudev sent for Gargamuni, the family priest of the Yadu Vamsha, and thus Gargamuni went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, who received Gargamuni very well and requested him to give names to Krishna and Balaram. Gargamuni, of course, reminded Nanda Maharaj that Kamsa was looking for the son of Devaki, and so he told him that if the ceremony was performed very gorgeously, the ceremony would come to the notice of Kamsa, who would then suspect that Krishna was the son of Devaki. Nanda Maharaj therefore requested Gargamuni to perform this ceremony without anyone's knowledge, and this Gargamuni did. Because Balaram, the son of Rohini, increases the transcendental bliss of others, his name is
Rama.
And because of his extraordinary strength, he is called
Baladeva.
He attracts the Yadus to follow his instructions, and therefore his name is
Sankarshan.
The son of Yashoda, Krishna, previously appeared in many other colors, such as white, red, and yellow, and now he assumed the color black. Because Krishna was sometimes the son of Vasudeva, his name is
Vasudeva.
According to his various activities and qualities, Krishna has many other names. After thus informing Nanda Maharaj and completing the name-giving ceremony, Gargamuni advised Nanda Maharaj to protect his son very carefully and then departed. Next, Shukadeva Goswami described how the two children, Krishna and Balaram, crawled, walked on their small legs, played with the cows and calves, stole butter and other milk products, and broke the butter pots. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami described many naughty activities of Krishna and Balaram. The most wonderful of these occurred when Krishna's playmates complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna was eating earth. Mother Yashoda wanted to open Krishna's mouth to see the evidence so that she could chastise Krishna. Sometimes Yashoda assumed the position of a chastising mother, and at the next moment, Yashoda was overwhelmed with maternal love. After describing all this to Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami, at the request of Parikshit, praised the fortune of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. Nanda and Yashoda were formerly Drona and Dara, and by the order of Lord Brahma, they came to this earth and had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. Chapter 9. While Mother Yashoda was allowing Krishna to drink her breast milk, Yashoda was forced to stop because she saw the milk pan boiling over on the oven. The maidservants, being engaged in other business, Yashoda stopped allowing Krishna to drink from her breast and immediately attended to the overflowing milk pan. Krishna became very angry because of his mother's behavior, and so he devised a means of breaking the pots of yogurt. Because Krishna created this disturbance, Mother Yashoda decided to bind Krishna. All these incidents are described in this chapter. One day, the maidservants being engaged in other work, Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt into butter herself. And in the meantime, Krishna came and requested Yashoda to allow him to suck her breast milk. Of course, Mother Yashoda immediately allowed Krishna to do so. But then, Yashoda noticed that the hot milk on the oven was boiling over. And therefore, Yashoda immediately stopped allowing Krishna to drink the milk of her breast and went to stop the milk on the oven from overflowing. Krishna, however, having been interrupted in his business of sucking the breast, was very angry. Krishna took a piece of stone, broke the churning pot, and entered a room where Krishna began to eat the freshly churned butter. When Mother Yashoda, after attending to the overflowing milk, returned and saw the broken pot, She could understand that this was the work of Krishna. And therefore Yashoda went to search for Krishna. When Yashoda entered the room, she saw Krishna standing on the ulukkala, the large mortar for grinding spices. Having turned the mortar upside down, Krishna was stealing butter hanging from a swing, distributing the butter to the monkeys. As soon as Krishna saw that his mother had come, immediately Krishna began to run away, and Mother Yashoda began to follow Krishna. After going some distance, Mother Yashoda was able to capture Krishna, who because of his offense was now crying. Mother Yashoda, of course, threatened to punish Krishna if he acted in this way again. And Yashoda decided to bind Krishna with rope. Unfortunately, when the time came to knot the rope with which Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna was short by a distance equal to the width of two fingers. When Yashoda made the rope longer by adding another rope, again she saw that it was short by two fingers. Again and again Yashoda tried, and again she found the rope too short by two fingers. Thus Yashoda became very tired, and Krishna, seeing his affectionate mother so tired, allowed himself to be bound up. Now, being compassionate, Krishna did not show Yashoda his unlimited potency. After Mother Yashoda bound Krishna and became engaged in other household affairs, Krishna observed two Yamala Arjuna trees, which were actually Nalakuvara and Manigriva, two human sons of Kuvera, who had been condemned by Narada Muni to become trees. Krishna, by his mercy, now began to proceed toward the trees just to fulfill the desire of Narada Muni. Chapter 10. This chapter describes how Krishna broke the twin Arjuna trees from which Nalakuvara and Manigriva, the sons of Kuvera, then came out. Nalakuvara and Manigriva were great devotees of Lord Shiva, but because of material opulence, they became so extravagant and senseless that one day they were enjoying with naked girls in a lake, shamelessly walking here and there. Suddenly, Narada Muni passed by, but they were so maddened by their wealth and false prestige that even though they saw Narada Muni present, they remained naked and were not even ashamed. In other words, because of opulence and false prestige, they lost their sense of common decency. Of course, it is the nature of the material qualities that when one becomes very much opulent in terms of wealth and a prestigious position, one loses one's sense of etiquette and does not care for anyone, even a sage like Narada Muni. For such bewildered persons, ahankara vimudhatma, who especially deride devotees, the proper punishment is to again be stricken with poverty. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha. The Vedic rules and regulations prescribe how to control the false sense of prestige by the practice of yama, niyama, and so on. A poor man can be convinced very easily that the prestige of an opulent position in this material world is temporary, but a rich man cannot. Therefore, Narada Muni set an example by cursing these two persons, Nalakuvra and Manigriva, to become dull and unconscious like trees. This was fit punishment. But because Krishna is always merciful, even though they were punished, they were fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Therefore, the punishment given by Vaishnavas is not at all punishment. Rather, it is another kind of mercy. By the curse of the Devarshi, Nalakuvra and Manigriva became twin Arjuna trees and remained in the courtyard of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, waiting for the opportunity to see Krishna directly. Lord Krishna, by the desire of his devotee, uprooted these Yamala Arjuna trees, and when Nalakuvra and Manigriva were thus delivered by Krishna, after 100 years of the Devas, their old consciousness revived, and they offered Krishna prayers suitable to be offered by demigods. Having thus gotten the opportunity to see Krishna face to face, they understood how merciful Narada Muni was, and therefore they expressed their indebtedness to Narada and thanked him. Then, after circumambulating the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Nalakuvra and Manigriva departed for their respective abodes. Chapter 11. This chapter describes how the inhabitants of Gokula left Gokula and went to Vrindavan, and how Krishna killed Vatsa Asura and Baka Asura. When the Yamala Arjuna trees fell, they made a tremendous sound, like that of falling thunderbolts. Being surprised, Krishna's father Nanda and the other elderly inhabitants of Gokula went to the spot where they saw the fallen trees and Krishna standing between them, bound to the Urukala wooden mortar. They could find no cause for the trees having fallen and Krishna's being there. They thought this might be the work of some asura who had met Krishna on this spot. And so they inquired from the playmates of Krishna about how the whole incident had taken place. The children properly described how everything had happened, but the elderly persons could not believe the story. Some of them, however, thought that it might be true since they had already seen many wonderful incidents in connection with Krishna. Anyway, Nanda Maharaj immediately released Krishna from the ropes. In this way, Krishna, at every day and every moment, displayed wonderful incidents just to increase the parental affection of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who thus felt both surprise and joy. The breaking of the Yamala Arjunas was one of these wonderful pastimes. One day, a fruit vendor approached Nanda Maharaj's house, and so Krishna gathered some food grains with his little palms and went to the vendor to exchange the grains for fruit. On the way, almost all the grains fell from his palms, only one or two grains remaining. But the fruit vendor, out of full affection, accepted these grains in exchange for as much fruit as Krishna could take. And as soon as she did this, her own basket became filled with gold and jewels. Thereafter, all the elderly gopas decided to leave Gokula because they saw that in Gokula there was always some disturbance. They thus decided to go to Vrindavan, Brajadam, and the next day they all departed. In Vrindavan, both Krishna and Balaram, after finishing their childhood pastimes, began to take charge of the calves and send them to the pasturing ground, Gocharana. It was during this time a demon named Vatsa Asura entered among the calves and was killed. And then another Asura, in the shape of a big duck, was also killed. The playmates of Krishna narrated all these stories to their mothers. But the mothers could not believe their children, Krishna's playmates. But because of full affection, they enjoyed these narrations of Krishna's activities.